We all learned that Donovan Mitchell would be traded not to the New York Knicks, but ultimately to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Colin Sexton and his recovering knee head out to Utah in addition to Lauri Markkanen. In addition, and this is what the Utah Jazz wanted, first-round picks, three of them from the Cavaliers in addition to two pick swaps that will take place over the next 7 years. But the Cavaliers have one of the most dangerous and young lineups in the NBA right now with room to grow and room to compete. Garland now with Mitchell and Allen and Mobley and someone with experience like Kevin Love. They are on their way. To talk about it, right now we are being joined by Chris Fedor of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He also covers everything Cavs basketball for Cleveland.com. Chris, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to hop on. Your thoughts overall on this trade, especially the fact that it was pretty much sprung on all of us?
I think it was the right time and it was for the right player. And it's not like the Cavs can go into like a superstar market and pick the exact guy that they want, right? You can only go by what the market has to offer you. So I don't know that it's an ideal stylistic fit. And there are some things that the Cavs have to figure out with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell and ball handling responsibilities and whether that backcourt pairing can work on the defensive end. But this is the type of player that they didn't have on the roster. This is the kind of guy that can shift a 7-game playoff series. This is the kind of guy that can take pressure off of Darius Garland in a way that nobody was able to do at the end of last season for the Cavs. So I think when you have an opportunity to get this caliber player to make this talent upgrade and the guy happens to fit your timeline and you have some control of his contract for the next couple of years, I think it's an opportunity that the Cavs, coming off a 44-win season, JR, it's one that they couldn't pass up.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell under contract now with the Cleveland Cavaliers until 2026, where he will make $37 million. How shocked were you when this deal came through, Chris?
I wasn't that shocked, honestly, JR. I know the Cavs and the Jazz, they had conversations at Summer League. And at that point in time, I'm told that the Cavs kind of walked away from those conversations saying, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen for us. The price is going to be too high. Other teams are going to be able to put together a better package than us. But the team that everybody expected to get Donovan Mitchell, the team best positioned to get Donovan Mitchell, the New York Knicks, decided that they were going to dawdle a little bit. And they thought that Utah didn't have any other promising offers that they would be willing to take. And the Cavs kind of lurked, and they kept in contact with the Utah Jazz, and the two sides talked about like what pieces are going to work. Colin Sexton, Oche Agbaji, how many unprotected picks, like all those conversations were going on in a private way. And when Kobe Altman, the president of basketball operations for the Cavs, decided to re-engage with the Jazz 2 weeks ago, it felt like to the Cavs that there was a path to actually getting something done because the Knicks weren't going to offer everything that the Jazz wanted. So with the Knicks taking the approach that they did, JR, it created this path to the Cavs jumping in and giving Utah a good enough deal that they weren't going to sit and wait for the New York Knicks.
Absolutely. And we saw what took place this afternoon. Chris Fedor is joining us, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland as well, Cavs reporter for Cleveland.com. You talked about the mix, the backcourt between Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, two smaller guards. We know there are giants up front, long arms and limbs and levers with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Oh, Cavs fans, for the most part, have to be enthusiastic about this move. What's the ultimate vibe in the city when this took place this afternoon?
Yeah, there's excitement, no doubt about it, because I think the Cavs are now positioned to do some things that they probably weren't positioned to do a week ago, right? I think if we were having a conversation about the Cavs and their ceiling and the expectations for this coming season and where they fall in the Eastern Conference, I think the conversation is a lot different, and that conversation centers on, you know, how close are they to the Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls and some of these other teams that are fighting to avoid the play-in tournament, right? Now the conversation is, how close are the Cavs to the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, Philadelphia 76ers, Brooklyn Nets, and the Milwaukee Bucks? And that's a legitimate conversation for them to have. It's not outlandish to think that they can avoid the play-in tournament. It's not outlandish to think that the ceiling of this team in the regular season is a top four seed in the Eastern Conference and home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. So this is the kind of player, the talent that they were missing, that I think raises their ceiling when it comes to what they can accomplish both in the regular season, but also once they get into the postseason. Because, JR, if you think about it, last year, the Cavs got to the play-in tournament after a 44-win season, and they played against the Nets and the Hawks. And both those teams just threw everything that they could at Darius Garland because they said, we got to slow him down, and if we slow him down, the Cavs are going to be a completely different team, and offensively they're going to bog down. The Cavs didn't have enough playmaking, and they didn't have enough shot creation, and they didn't have enough scoring to take that burden off of Darius. Now they have somebody in Donovan Mitchell where if those two guys are playing together at the same time, like in most cases, they're each going to be the top name on the opposing scouting report. They can't anymore because they're sharing the court together, and it allows the Cavs to do some different things offensively that they simply couldn't do last year because they didn't have the personnel to do that.
Chris Fedor is here with us, representing for Cleveland.com and 92.3 The Fan. This is a squad in Cleveland, the Cavaliers in general, a team that we haven't seen in the playoffs, the legitimate playoffs, since LeBron James, since they lost in the finals. For every name that you just mentioned between Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell figuring it out, Evan Mobley, he may also, it's expected for him to advance over the next years, few years into being one of the best front court players in the league. He might end up being the best player on this squad. It's one thing to get to the playoffs. What do you feel are the realistic expectations for the Cavs to grow with this young roster and ultimately compete for a title?
See, that's the thing about it, JR. Because of the way that this roster is constructed and their four most important and best players are all 25 years old or under, that means that they don't have to be, for this year, championship or bust, right? That means they don't have to have these high expectations like the Milwaukee Bucks or the Golden State Warriors because eventually they're going to get into luxury tax hell, or eventually they're going to have to break things up that they have going here, or eventually one of these guys is going to hit free agency and they're not going to be able to pay them. They're not in that kind of situation. Down the road, you know, Donovan Mitchell's going to have a decision to make on whether he wants to stay with the Cavs, whether the organization is good enough, or whether he has starry eyes for a bigger market or something along those lines. But immediately, not only do the Cavs become better, but you feel like the contention window for this organization is going to be about 3 to 4 years, maybe even longer than that. So, yes, the expectations are much higher, and they have to be when you acquire a player like this and you give up everything that the Cavs gave up in order to get it done. But it doesn't have to be only for this year. You know what I mean? They can still, in a way, grow this thing organically and hope for internal improvements from some of their young guys, like you mentioned, beyond Evan Mobley, you know, Isaac Okoro, Darius Garland, Jared Allen. All those guys can continue to get better alongside one another. And I think that makes for what you think is going to be like the next half decade or something like that for the Cavs. And I agree with you, JR. I think there's no doubt about it that Evan Mobley has the ability to be the best of all these guys that we're talking about when it comes to the Cavs. I think Evan Mobley has the ability in the next 3 to 5 years to be a top five player in the game. That's how good he can be. That's how unique he is. And that's how impactful he is at both ends of the floor.
Well, Chris, you certainly know about everything going on in Cleveland. This has been a busy summer for Cleveland, Cleveland sports. The optimism, I guess, in the long range between both the Browns and the Cavs has to be collectively at probably the highest point that it's been in a very, very long time. What's the temperature in the city right now for the sports scene, especially ultimately, we know, whenever Deshaun returns.
Yeah, and I think you can throw the Guardians in there as well as the top team in the AL Central right now and a team that has exceeded expectations on the baseball diamond. It's rare that you have three teams in a major sports city where there are legitimate expectations of playoffs and even beyond that. And it's not unrealistic either. You know, fandom is what it is, and you're going to say, ah, the Browns are Super Bowl contenders and the Cavs are NBA Finals contenders and the Guardians can go to the World Series because that's how fans are. But, I mean, if you look at the future of both these teams and the present of both these teams, and then you toss in the Guardians as well, you know, I can't remember a time, JR, where you had all three teams in this city with those kinds of expectations and that kind of talent level. It's a really, really exciting time for the city of Cleveland. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing on top of everything is all of these teams are building through the draft, and it's young teams that fans can grow along with. It's not like rent a team or buy a championship or something along those lines. You feel like these players that are here, the young players that are so important, are going to be here for a number of years, and you can buy the jerseys, right? You can buy the season tickets and not have to worry about whoever it is bolting.
Yeah, tell LeBron to stay his ass in Los Angeles. Yeah, new contract. Who needs LeBron when he's 43? Nobody. Let him stay in Los Angeles. Don't come back home.
I will say, though, JR, if there is one hole that the Cavs have, and this is not a perfect team, right? This is not Milwaukee. This is not Boston. They still have work to do with this roster. The one hole that they do have happens to be the one that guy in Los Angeles occupies. Just saying.
Oh, so, yeah, give us 3 years and LeBron and his son, and then the next one will join the Cavs. And what a story that will be, isn't it?
That's a way to bookend the career, isn't it?
It'd be a hell of a way to go out. Chris, I appreciate you for taking the time to hop on, representing 92.3 The Fan, all our listeners in Cleveland, as well as Cleveland.com. Where can people keep up with you and follow you?
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland.com/Cavs. That's where all my stories appear on the website. And you can check me out on Twitter, too, because I put a bunch of stuff on Twitter. It's just my name, @ChrisFiedler. Nice and easy.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Chris, so much for taking the time to join us. Certainly, Cleveland sports has been at the forefront this year. There's been a lot of conversations in the NBA. People will not be able to avoid the Cavaliers as a part of the convo. And as he mentioned, yes, even the Guardians kind of moving in here over the next month, they aren't going to be a team that just rolls over and goes away. And so a lot of optimism in Cleveland right now. And thank you so much to Chris for joining us here.